Hey, listen, church, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, and open your Bibles this morning, as we obviously have our special service this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke, chapter 19, and I'm going to read the odd-numbered verses. You'll read the even-numbered verses. Luke 19, and I'll start in verse 37, and you can pick up there in verse 38, Luke chapter 19, and we'll end with verse 44. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice, praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Now, as they drew near, he saw the city, that's Jerusalem, and wept over it. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side. Let's pray. Father, we ask, Lord, this morning as we, with Bible open, with hearts open, minds, Lord, to reason. The fact of the matter is, as we live in this 21st century, the events that are unfolding around the world right now are absolutely, truly awesome. And God, we just ask of you today that you would equip us to be knowledgeable believers, that we would understand that your word is not only the most accurate history book the world has ever seen, it is the book to lead us and guide us in the now, and it is the prophetic book of all mankind, that with Bible prophecy we can peer into the future and we can see. So God, we thank you for the absolute totality of your word, and God, we just dedicate ourselves to the study of it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. So church, you can be seated this morning, and just want to bring to your attention as we look at this message today, here's what's going to happen this morning. I'm going to give about 25 minutes of teaching up front, and then we're going to have Amir come on out, and he's going to pick up the baton and run with about 25 minutes of teaching, all in preparation for tonight. So this morning dovetails into tonight. But right here in Luke's gospel, there's an awesome highlight of topic that Jesus points out. And he's talking about what is called eschatology, or the science of the prophetic doctrines of the Bible. It's quite remarkable. And the purpose of what is called biblical eschatology is, number one, to set God's word out from all other declarations of religions, prophets, false prophets. Eschatology means it is God's word that speaks about the future. And over 27% of the Bible speaks about future events. No other religious book in the world can do that. The Bible stands alone. And it's 100%, listen, 100% perfect on the prophecies that have thus been fulfilled. By the way, all 100% of those prophecies that have been fulfilled were fulfilled literally, not symbolically, not by typology, literally fulfilled. What does that school us? How does that train us as believers? That the remaining Bible prophecies will in fact be fulfilled literally. When God speaks, God does. But one of the most effective ways of getting ready to understand what God's word says to us is to, in fact, know what he says about the future. In fact, you know what? Listen, I don't know how your house is, how your home is, but when is your house the cleanest? Will you be honest and answer? When is your house the cleanest? Well, I heard it over here. When Dana got it. When guests are coming. Let's be honest. We survive in our homes until we find out someone's coming. And then we go to work. And we clean and we dust and we do windows. We vacuum. We even go get flowers and put them in places throughout the house to deceive, to try to convince the person this is how our house always looks like. Now, but in honesty, it's how our house would look like if we could keep it, right? That's what we would want. So we get our house ready when someone's coming. We also get our house, and I heard this also from over here, we also get our houses ready, really nice, inside and out, when we're going to leave them, when we're going to sell them, when we're going to put them on the market. You know, you always can tell when your neighbor's getting ready to sell because their house looks amazing. And then you get disappointed because they put a for sale sign out in the front. What's going on? Number one, someone's coming, so you get ready. Or, listen, someone's leaving, so you get ready. Listen, Jesus could come at any moment, so says the Bible. So, listen, our house being our body, our person of who we are, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to know the hour or the waiting, I should say, the intensity of that, of our visitation when Christ comes. And at the same time, though he's going to come, and he will, we pray that it's in our lifetime. Oh, let's be honest. I pray that it's now that we meet him. But the fact of the matter is it's a two-way street. He's coming for us, and we're going to go see him. We need to be ready, always ready. And that's a matter of fact. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, I want you to think about that statement he made in Matthew 24. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. When? At an hour you do not expect. That almost sounds impossible. You be ready, I'm coming. Okay, when do you want me to be ready? I'm not going to tell you. That means for every believer, every one of us, we are to be ready to meet the Lord. We are to be ready in conduct, ready in thoughts, ready in passion, ready in our devotion, ready in our investment of all that we are. It's quite awesome. It's quite amazing. So what I want to start this message off today with this, things, and here's the title, things that you should know. These are things that you should know. Jesus speaks regarding his revelation on Palm Sunday to the people of Israel, to Jerusalem, that these were events, these were things that they should have known. And so I want to put this before you, that the time has come. We're going to be arguing today and tonight that the time has come for you to have no excuse any longer as to why you cannot be ready. Christian, I'm speaking to the Christian. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, you need to listen and make a determination. And that would be ready for you to be ready, to get ready. So the time has come. And what do I mean by that? You might want to mark this down in your note-taking. Number one, I believe that the time has come because, listen, for the first time in human history, this is awesome. For the first time in human history, the church and Israel are on earth at the exact same time. This is prophetically significant. It has never happened before. When Israel was under the occupation of the Roman Empire at the time of Christ, listen, Israel was not in authority. Israel existed, but it was under the tyranny of Rome. Israel was not sovereign. For 2,000 years, Israel had been dispersed throughout all of the world. And since May 14th, 1948, for the first time in human history, the church and Israel resides on the earth at the exact same time. You say, Pastor, who cares? You should care because it is indicative of the fact that the church is soon to leave this earth, according to the Bible. Christ is coming, the Bible says, to pick up his people. And from that moment on, the scripture talks to us about a time coming that is known as the 7-year tribulation period that God specifically, biblically, must deal with his nation, his people, Israel. That's why the 7-year tribulation period goes by another name. It is known as the time of good. Jacob's trouble. Jacob is another name for Israel. It's exclusively absent, the church is, from the tribulation period. You need to be ready. And I'm going to say to you today that the time has come for you to be ready in your walk with Jesus. No more goofing off, church. No more walking the fence or straddling the fence and living in two worlds. Get right with Jesus. Listen, when I got saved back in the 70s, there was a bumper sticker that said, get right or get left. Remember that? Anybody remember that? Get right or get left. Or, you know, meaning left behind. Get right with God or get left behind. Well, listen, that was 41 years ago. You say, yeah, well, he didn't come. Hello, yeah. Listen, he said, be ready. We're 41 years closer to him coming. Right? Think of it that way. That's how the believer looks at it. So Israel and the church are existing at the same time. Number two, the Middle East, right now, there are nations that have gathered together in full agreement, ladies and gentlemen, as I stand before you right now on this day, that nations are surrounding Israel, that the Bible said over 2.5 millennia ago that these nations would come together, and the Bible makes it very clear in Ezekiel 38 that they would be led by a nation from the uttermost parts of Jerusalem, and that nation leader would go by the reference of Gog, G-O-G, and that he would bring his forces and the name of the nations with them, and they're all in line today. Not one is missing. And it would be a Russian-led coalition that this person, Gog, G-O-G, he is a military political leader, would bring forth this coalition of several nations, and all of them, by the way, today are of Muslim background, even though Russia officially is not. Isn't it interesting that as of this last summer, Russia has an agreement to supply weapons to all those nations involved, knowing that those nations involved have a goal in sight? What's the goal in sight? To destroy Israel. We're living that right now. Any day now, you could see that event unfolding because all of the players for the first time in human history are there. Number three, today, globally, worldwide, there is an anti-Christian sentiment like never before seen. Anti-Christian, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-God. And it's growing. All around the world, Christian persecution by those non-government agencies and ministries globally are reporting that there's persecution happening like no other time recorded globally in human history against Christians. Number four, as predicted in the Bible, that there would be a great indicator that would announce that we are entering into the last of the last days. And what would that be? It would be that God would intervene. Listen, God would intervene once Israel has been brought back from all of the nations of the world into her own land. The Bible tells us that Jerusalem would become the burdensome stone, the topic of debate, the topic of irritation to all the surrounding nations. Church family, is that true this morning? Literally true today. By the way, Jerusalem appears in more news broadcasts than any city in all of the world on the most frequent basis. Jerusalem, not Washington, D.C., not Chino Hills. Hard to believe, I know. Listen, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, all around the world. When nations make a decision, they got to figure out what's going to happen regarding Jerusalem. But look in your Bibles, if you would. You were just there a moment ago, Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 44. Verse 44 says, because you did not know. Jesus says, because you did not know. He's holding them accountable. You did not know the time. The word time here is a word we studied a couple of weeks ago. Kairos, the defining moment. You did not know the defining moment of your visitation. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he wept. He cried. Because those that should have known that he was coming did not recognize that he was coming. They didn't put it together. They were sloppy about Bible reading. Did you know that everything was written in Daniel for them to know the day? Did you know that? Of Christ's triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, the book of Daniel said the Jews were to know it. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, they should have known. And Jesus is riding on that little donkey. 100,000 plus people, according to Josephus, is shouting, Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus is weeping. What an odd moment. And as he approaches Jerusalem and he weeps, he indicts them. And he says, you didn't recognize the day of your visitation. You should have known what the Bible had to say. By the way, the word visitation here in Luke, it's an amazing statement, and you ought to write this down in your notes or in your margins. In Luke 19:44, when he says visitation, the meaning of the word is this. It means to, listen, to be examining and to be examined. The word means to inspect and to be inspected. You're to be looking, you're to be watching. Why? Because God is looking, God is watching. You're to be ready, you're to be waiting. Why? Because God is ready, God is waiting. Isn't that an interesting word? We are to be ready to meet the Lord. And when he arrived, he was looking for those who knew the Bible. There's no excuse, we're in the 21st century. We have Bibles everywhere. Bibles online, Bible on app. Free Bible reading, Bibles, still the most printed, sold book every year in the world, Bibles. Do you know it? Do you know that Christ said, I'm going to come back in an hour that you don't know? Be ready. Did you take into consideration that the Bible he's announcing is the one that says, watch the times and the seasons, look around, be ready. It's absolutely amazing. Notice also this, look at verse 42. He says there, it says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, notice what his desire was, the things that make for your, what is it? Peace. God wanted them to have peace. You might say, Jack, why then, if the Jews are the chosen people, why have they had it so rough throughout history? Guess what? Very simple answer. God wants to bless the Jews. God has blessed the Jews. But every time they have gone into captivity or experienced the Holocaust, it is because God's word says, if you reject me and run away from me, you're going to get injured. You're going to get hurt. You're going to fall into judgment. Church family, listen, if you stand outside all day in this wintry day, you're going to get sunburned. You're going to go from feeling good to getting a tan to getting burned. How did that happen? You went out from underneath the covering. Are you with me? You left the protection of the building or a tent, and you went out into the elements. And who's to blame for going out into those elements? When God says, stay with me and I'll bless you. And every time Israel has run from God, they've experienced judgment. God wants them to have peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's coming back to bring peace in the great second coming. But what about you who are Christians, followers of Christ? It's God's will that you have his peace in your life. Maybe you're not a Christian today and you have no peace. God wants you to have peace. He wants you to have that peace that passes all understanding. But that's a powerful word, the visitation. Examining the times. Jesus said you should have been examining the times. He said you should have been inspecting the days. Why? Because he's saying God is examining you. God is inspecting you. He holds us accountable to be ready. But notice that the neglect had brought upon them this great devastation. In verse 41, it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city, that is Jerusalem, and he wept over it. By the way, the word in Greek means that his chest, this is not a little tear in the eye. The word in the Greek implies that he was crying. It implies heaving. You know, when you're crying so much, your shoulders are moving, your chest, your diaphragm is expanding and contracting. Jesus is weeping. And this is what he's weeping about. If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, look, but now they are hidden from your eyes. What a sad and tragic statement that is. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Luke chapter 21 begins in verse 34, Jesus said, watch out. Can you say of yourself, Christian, that you are watching out? Jesus said, watch out. Do not let your hearts be dulled. That word means laden, weighed down. Pulled down. We would see the picture of what quicksand does. It looks solid. You walk across it. It's soft. But as you continue to walk, you sink. The more you move, the more it takes you in. You start to panic. You move more. And what does quicksand do? Completely consumes you. It'll swallow you up. Jesus said, watch out. Watch out that your hearts are not laden down. That you fall into the quicksand. How's that? In what way? By carousing. The word carousing is partying. It carries with it drunken orgies, carousing, drunkenness, intoxication, or the changing of your ability to discern what's going on around you. God wants you alert. And look, by worries, this is where we get the word anxieties. Jesus said, watch out in the last days that the world doesn't pull you down like quicksand because it's going to grab you by the feet. And listen, one of the things you need to watch out for, Jesus said, is things that cause you to worry. Don't worry. Don't be filled with anxiety. And we find out in America today, America is drugged because of its worry, because of its anxiety. Tragedy. Tragic. Anxieties of life. Jesus said, don't let. The word there is stop it. Stop. Don't let the day catch you unaware. Verse 35, like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Listen carefully. Everyone living on the earth is being sucked in, pulled down by the worries of this world. Question, don't answer. Question, is that you? I hope not. Look how Jesus gives us the remedy. Verse 36, watch. That word means be on alert, be wide-eyed. Watch, he said, therefore, and pray always that you are counted worthy to escape those things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What a tremendous statement. Do you honestly think for a moment, think about this, that the global issues that are taking place all around the world and the rising tensions of nations has somehow been a coincidence? All of these things, friends, I'm telling you right now, I believe are biblically stage-setting moments. I'm going to run through some things before I get out of the way and let Amir finish this. Do you think it's a coincidence that Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un, wants to destroy the United States? Do you think it's a coincidence that at the exact same time that Iran, with those religious supporters of theirs, Turkey included, are all, they hate each other's guts, but they all come to agreement on one thing. Their goal is to destroy Israel. Do you think that's a coincidence that's happening right now at the exact same time and Russia is their military supplier? Do you think it's a coincidence that the United States Congress voted to declare Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and Donald Trump ratified that, acknowledged that, publicly displayed that? Do you think that's a coincidence right now that all these things are happening? Do you think it's a coincidence right now that global economies are on the brink of bankruptcy and a one world currency is being discussed right now among the financial nations of the world? You think that's a coincidence? Church, these are things where Jesus says, recognize the day of your visitation. In Luke 21, verse 28, Jesus said, now when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up. Notice, he didn't say when they happen, past tense, then look up. He says, when you begin to see the formation of all these things, look up, lift up your heads. Why? Because your redemption draws near. I love that. What a great statement. Suddenly, without warning, Christ is coming. Without warning, yes. But to those of us who are watching and looking at the world's scene in light of Bible prophecy, these are things that you should know. And we don't lose heart, we get excited. And then listen, the fact that Jesus would shout the reality that we're waiting for now. And I love this because listen, with what I'm about to read, did you know that you're a growing, not a growing number, the number of those who believe what I'm going to read out of the Bible right now is shrinking. And you need to test yourself right now. Listen, Jesus said he'd be back. Do you believe that? Yes. He said he's coming back. Well, listen carefully. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Can you imagine? With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, that is their bodies. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. It's the word rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air. Jesus is going to shout. I hope it's today. And when he shouts, he's going to shout, and those who are ready will hear him. Are you ready? To those who are looking for him, they're going to hear and recognize the shout. Are you looking for him? And then finally, I end with this before Amir comes out. Zechariah chapter 12, we'll discuss it more tonight. Are we close to seeing God refocusing on the nation of Israel? If that's true, are we close to the rapture of the church? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. Zechariah 12, 1. The message of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, listen up, everybody. Verse 2 is more current than the LA Times. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples or nations when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth be gathered together against it. Is that amazing? Listen, the Bible doesn't say New York, doesn't say London, doesn't say Hong Kong, doesn't say Paris. It doesn't say Los Angeles. It says Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerusalem is the center of Israel. Israel, according to God, is the center of the universe. And God's attention is focused back on that land. You are living out Bible prophecy. And the challenge, the question to you this morning is this. Do you recognize the visitation of God's word in your life by all of these things that are happening around you? Give a warm welcome to our good friend, Amir Sarfati.
So Jesus was about to enter into Jerusalem riding a donkey, something that was already odd and strange. A king coming to redeem his nation from a foreign occupier, riding a donkey. And then he stops and cries. And then instead of coming after the Romans, he's actually turning those tables of the money changers. Instead of killing the Roman governor, he's actually led as a sheep before its shears without opening his mouth. It didn't fit the image of the Messiah that the people had. But it fit every single prophecy in the scriptures regarding his birth from a virgin in Isaiah 7 and the place of his birth, the way he lived his life, the way he had to die, why he had to die, his death, his resurrection, Isaiah 53, Psalm 16, and even him sitting at the right hand of the Father, Psalm 110. Every one of those events were foretold by the prophets. But the people were not ready, because the people had their image of the Messiah. They had their image of how things should be. They were not in the Word of God. They chose to cruise through life, listen but not really take into heart. They chose to believe rabbinical teachings over the Word of the living God, and they were not ready. Not only that the people, right when Jesus entered Jerusalem, were not ready. Even the one that was right next to him on the cross said to him, "You are the Messiah. Save yourself." Completely misunderstanding the fact that the Messiah had to die. And if that's not enough, Jesus, the resurrected Lord, on that Sunday, was walking all the way with the two disciples that walked to the village of Emmaus. And those two disciples were disciples. They were part of the group that saw Jesus every day for almost 3 years. They heard him telling them about his coming death. They heard, they did not believe. And then what happened? He resurrected. And it's very interesting because when Jesus walks next to them, he says, "What kind of conversation is it that you have with one another as you walk and you are sad?" They just heard that the tomb is empty. And they just heard that the angel said that he's alive. And they're walking far away from Jerusalem. The walk of shame, the walk of confusion, the walk of embarrassment. They probably follow the wrong man. And he shows up. What are the odds for you to attend somebody's funeral and 2 days later he's walking right next to you? They couldn't see him because they hardened their hearts, so their eyes were restrained. They couldn't see him. They couldn't understand. But he was the same Jesus. And he's asking them, why are you sad? And one of the two, whose name was Cleophas, said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Bear in mind, he's not talking about the Bible, about prophecy, about the law of Moses. He's talking about current events of those days. He's talking about great events that took place in his city, in his country, during his lifetime, during that very weekend. And Jesus is asking, what things? And Cleophas answers and says, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that interesting? He's telling Jesus about Jesus. And Jesus is probably like, all right. And then, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he was going to redeem Israel. Everything's past tense. It's all about he is not what we thought he is. Wrong man. And he's right next to them. Right in front of them. It's like coming to me and telling me that I'm not who I am. I'll smack them. Well, Jesus told them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He could have said the Psalms and Moses. But it's interesting how he talked about the prophets. How he actually exposed the fact that Bible prophecy is all about him. The whole prophetic aspect of the Bible is about the Messiah. The first prophecy that was ever given in the Bible is Genesis 3:15. Regarding the serpent. Not Adam, not Eve, the serpent. And how he's going to have his end. By the seed of the woman. Last time I checked, women don't have seed. They have eggs. There's only one woman that could have a seed without having to have a man. And that was, of course, the virgin that was supposed to conceive in Isaiah 7. The seed of the woman, the Messiah. He is the one who will crush the head of that serpent. From day one, Satan understands that everything is about the Messiah. And when you don't study prophecy, you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know what he came for. You don't know what time he's about to return. You don't understand that he's coming to take you first and then come back with you and reign with us. And you don't understand this thing if you don't find yourself in the Word of God. I see many similarities between Israel of 2,000 years ago and the church of today. All the Jews went to synagogues in those days, all of them. And they would sit in the synagogue and listen to the Word of God read to them publicly. Nobody owned a Bible in those days. That's why the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, not reading. Nobody read the Bible except of the person who read publicly before the rest of them. So they would hear the Word of God. And they would memorize the Word of God. And the book of Psalms is the easiest to memorize. And it's very interesting because when you read in Acts chapter 2, after they were already with the Holy Spirit, after they already saw and experienced and understood not only that He came to die, but He resurrected, and Christ commissioned them to go now and make disciples and baptize them, that band of disciples was filled with the Holy Spirit and started preaching. And you know what? Peter never preached from the New Testament. Jesus never preached in any church. Interesting. The Jewish people heard about the Messiah every Shabbat, and they just did not believe. But you know what? The church is the same. 95% of the churches worldwide don't want to deal with Bible prophecy because it's for lunatics. They are afraid to deal with that because there's too many interpretations. What happened to Jerusalem when Jerusalem did not believe? Jerusalem did not know the time of her visitation. And calamity followed that one. Think about it. People that don't know the time of their visitation cannot escape the calamity that is around the corner. And it's very tragic that you hear it every Shabbat. Or you can come to church every Sunday, hear the word, and not believe. And the same way nowadays, very few are excited about what the prophet said, excited about what Jesus said, and excited about His soon return. Even 2,000 years ago, very few people were excited when Jesus was born. Very few. In fact, when Jesus as a baby was brought to the temple, the Bible says in verse 25 of Luke 2, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." This guy was almost 90 years old. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He knew that the Messiah is to come. He understood the times and the seasons. He knew the prophecy of Daniel. He understood the book of Psalms. He realized these are the days, that's the time. And it may not happen according to my schedule. Not September 23rd and not blood moons and not all of that. He did not give God time. He waited. And this guy was old and he was waiting. And the Bible says not only that he was waiting, but when you wait upon the Lord, you know, the Bible says God is close to anyone who calls upon His name. And this guy was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not in people, but came upon people, and it could leave those people, just as it left King Saul, and then he came to King David. And King David begged God not to take His Holy Spirit from him after his sin was exposed. Now we're in the New Testament era, but it's before the descending of the Holy Spirit. And here, the Holy Spirit was upon someone because that someone was waiting upon the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." The name of Jesus is Yeshua. Salvation is in Hebrew Yeshua. This is your salvation. And then he said, not only that it's your salvation, It's a salvation that you have prepared before the face of all peoples. He is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. That's who he is. And that little baby came right on time. And that person who was in the Word and waited patiently saw it. And he was excited. Not only him. The Bible says that even Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You see, Joseph, I mean, think about what he was going through those days. 9 months earlier, his fiance comes and says, I have two things to tell you. I'm pregnant and I know the name of the baby. Because the angel told her already what the name is going to be. This is the only baby that was born with the title king. And he's the only king that was king from the time he was a baby. Kings are not born kings unless they are Jesus. And it's interesting because he was shocked, yet Simeon was not. Joseph was shocked. He was marveling. Simeon waited upon the Lord. He knew the word of God. He knew the Messiah has to come. The Holy Spirit told him to wait. You won't die before the Messiah comes. And when he comes, you'll know. The Holy Spirit didn't tell Simeon the day and the hour. Simeon was ready because he waited upon the Lord. The same goes for all of us today. Are we in the Word? Are we excited? Are we waiting upon the Lord? Or do we give him the time? Do we demand a day and an hour? Or do we understand that it's for him to decide as long as we are ready? So amazing how people were there ready, and there were very few. And so it's going to be when Christ will come back. You know, not every person that says he's a Christian is a Christian. You know, that's why in Israel, by the way, we don't even say Christian. We say a believer. Are you a believer? I'm a believer. Is she a believer? Is he a believer? Because when you say the term believer, that means you have to believe. It's not about going to church. It's not about being born and it's written in your birth certificate. It's who you are. Believer or a non-believer. You can sit in a church and still be a non-believer. And I always tell people that Peter was not a believer, even to the point of the crucifixion. He did not believe the words that Jesus said regarding what he's going to go through. Forget about the fact that he denied him. He just did not believe. When he came to that tomb on that Sunday morning, he looked at the empty tomb, and the Bible says he walked back like that. In fact, it was Mary who was weeping, and she demanded to see where the body of Jesus is. Peter went back. He didn't understand what's going on. And even after they've seen Jesus in Galilee, in Jerusalem, in the upper room, when Thomas had to check that it's him, they all left Jerusalem, went back to Galilee. They did not believe. So those two disciples on the way to Emmaus, they just left. And only when they realized, when Jesus opened the whole Old Testament and expounded to them all that is written in Moses and the Psalms and the prophets concerning himself, that's when they realized, wow. Jesus did not give them anything new. He just opened the old, which was always there before their eyes. They just never believed. The average Christian has about 3 Bibles. You can have 50 and still not believe. It doesn't matter. Most people who believed never had even one. So my point is, Do we understand that there's probably few, but it's all about waiting upon the Lord and being in His Word? The days are coming, and that's probably the only thing that will hold us. The understanding that everything happens according to the plan. Isn't that interesting that when Moses was about to go to see Pharaoh, God told Moses, you're about to see Pharaoh. You're going to tell him whatever you want to tell him, but he's not going to like it. God tells Moses what Pharaoh is going to say before Pharaoh even heard Moses or saw Moses. God knows that the president of Russia may not think about it now, but he's planning something. Isn't that interesting that we know what that leader of Russia is going to do before that leader of Russia is even thinking about it? You know. Knowledge is power. We are way more intelligent than any political or military analyst that exists today in the world. We could have preached that alliance of countries around Israel today. We could have preached that 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. People would think you're crazy. Look where we are today. So the question is not if God is going to fulfill His word. The question is, are we ready? And where are we going to be when that is going to happen? It's interesting how it is easy to be drawn to the world and not to be in the Word. But I want to tell you something. Jesus said that He's coming, and when He comes back to earth, He's coming back with us. And you know what it means? It means that we need to go to be with Him first. And Jesus is the one who said that He's about to go and He's going to prepare a place for us. And then He says, I will then come back. And then He says, I will receive you unto myself, so where I am, you will also be. He didn't say, so where you are, I will also be. The one who changed address is us, not Him. We are going to be in heaven because He is coming halfway to take us to be with Him. In other words, right now we're on earth and we are going to be soon in these heavens. Now, why do I say these heavens? Because remember, while we're up there and the world goes through tribulation, we're going to be with the Lord, casting our crowns right at His feet, having the most unbelievable worship service ever. Everything you go through right now is in preparation for the reward and the crown that eventually, gladly, we will give it to Him. Unless you're just cruising through life and the crowns don't matter to you. And it's interesting because, have you thought about that? Jesus came and visited earth. He didn't stay here. That's why it says, Jerusalem, you did not know the time of your visitation. The Jews never expected Him to leave. Messiah should stay, rule, reign. Yet He didn't. Jerusalem did not know the time of her visitation. You see, when you have someone coming and staying with you for a week, for a month, for a year, for five, that's fine. He's a visitor. But what if he stays 50 years? He's a leech. But think about it. Christ came to visit, went back up to heaven. We are now going to visit Him and come back with Him to earth. So my question is, do you know that you can miss your visitation? Jerusalem did not know the time of her visitation because Jerusalem did not believe in the Word of God. Anyone here that does not believe in the Word of God and chooses not to follow Christ will miss his visitation as well. And unfortunately, what the world is going to go through while we're gone is horrific. And Christ came and extended his hand and said, I will give you peace. Jerusalem, if you only knew the things that are making of your peace. Isn't that beautiful? That Jesus is not only the Prince of Peace, but the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The world cannot give you peace always and in every way. Jesus can. So that's your choice today, to be in the Word and to follow the Lord and to know the time of your visitation, or to push that aside and walk in disbelief and to miss the visitation. And what Jesus said about Jerusalem is, look what's going to happen to you, destruction and calamity. And that is exactly what is going to befall upon the non-believing people that are staying behind when we're gone. Destruction and calamity. Here I put before you, the Lord said, death and life, evil and good. Choose life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father but through him. Choose Jesus.
Let's all stand. Wow, look at this. He was teaching so much from his Bible, he just burned the pages right out of his... There you go. Listen, the Bible says you shall not take one word away from...
That's why I'm taking it back.
Let's pray. Father, we pray that right now there would be someone who in this moment, this time of just being bombarded really from different angles of the scripture, the fact that the Bible declares Jesus, nobody else, Jesus is Messiah, the events of the world culminating, all of this announcement for this one reason. That very same dependable, precious Bible says that he would die on the cross and be resurrected from the dead, that anyone who would turn to him, presenting their sins, giving their sins to him, not hiding them, but giving their adultery, their fornication, their pride, their fear, their temper to you. In exchange, you said you would extend to them your righteousness, all by faith, remarkable, not by works, not by good deeds. It's we, lonely sinners, coming to Christ the Savior, saying, Lord, will you take from me my guilt and my shame, that I can receive your forgiveness and grace, that I might, by your blood, be fit for heaven. Friends, if that's you this morning, today, making that decision, just agree with them. Now, agree with him. Have you ever done wrong? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever had a bad thought, did a bad thing? The only reason why you know it was a bad thing is because the Spirit told you that. You know it's bad. You know it's wrong. Well, listen, don't let the world pull you into its pit of quicksand. Reach out for Jesus now. You can do that right where you're at. Ask him, forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. Change my life. Give me new life. Make me a follower of yours. Make me ready that when I die or when you come, I will have lived my life. I will hand my life back to you in honor of your holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name.